It's wonderful how the American people display their sportsmanship.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you are listening to this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening to the show, I hope it's a good one for you. I hope I, you know, reward you taking a chance on me and giving me the listen. If this isn't your first time, thank you for coming back. If you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to the show or leave a five-star review. If you were feeling about leaving a 1, 2, or 3, or 4, just forget I said anything. All right, on this week's off-season episode, we will be getting into the Indiana news, including me just, you know, brainstorming, fantasizing about who could possibly fill out this assembly ball squad. Following that, we'll get into some of the national news, including a absolutely key program pickup for a not-too-far-off rival. Then it's on to an off-season micro-segment called Burke's Big Five. This week, my Big Five Big Ten mascots. Throwing that in there, just, you know, something else for the off-season. And following that, this week for our segment, I will be getting into the Big Ten conference opponent release, you know, how we all saw our matchups for the season. I will be breaking down the entire conference, just throwing them into four different tiers. Who doesn't love a tier? Welcome to the tier episode. I am just breaking down who had the best draw from the Big Ten. And as always, we'll get you on out here with a Hoosier history hit. Again, I appreciate you so much for giving me the listen. If you haven't, feel free to give me a follow across all socials at Often Daunted. Enough of that nonsense. Let's get right into the Indiana news this week. Right at the top of this, Thursday evening, I got a chance to hop on the Big Ten show. And this is a new project by Sonny Verma of the Illini Cast and Jason, who hosts his own series of Husker podcasts out there. They had me on, and I just had the opportunity to puff my chest on behalf of everything Mike Woodson has done for us this offseason. It was a good time. Yeah, give it a chance. You'll get to see my ugly mug if you go the YouTube option. So yeah, please be kind. And yeah, I would appreciate some Hoosier backup on that channel because I may have made a few enemies. I know those Purdue guys, they do love to watch the shows who discuss them. Of course, they were going to bring up Purdue to me. And I just brought up how disrespectful it was to Zach Edey that they just don't feel the need to replace him. You know, we respected Trace Jackson Davis enough to go, yo, his absence is a critical piece that we need to go out and get. And we went out and got Khalil Ware. Following Khalil Ware, we went out and got Umar Ballo, the best center available in the transfer portal. All this to say, it's incredibly disrespectful to just think Purdue is going to be able to replace what a two-time national player of the year at 7'4" gives you. And it's bizarre that, I don't know, the national pre-rankings, I know it's so early, but the national pre-rankings just do not seem to want to break it to them yet. Okay, enough of them. They brought it up, I had to address it, and I probably made some enemies. So, big news for any Indiana alumni out there, but also shout out to the graduates this semester. Just this last weekend, graduating in Memorial Stadium. Awesome to see another lot of Hoosiers hitting the workforce. But big news for alumni, because this week it was announced that Assembly Ball would be taking place in the basketball tournament. That is the $1 million grand prize winner-take-all basketball tournament held each summer. It's a lot of alumni teams. It's a lot of, you know, it's just you get whatever team you can together and try to win $1 million. This Assembly Ball team has me so pumped for this damn tournament. Three initial commits were a strong way to come out of the gate and really get me all in on this. Juwan Morgan. Who doesn't want to see Juwan Morgan ball again? You know, wearing our colors. Because they're going to be wearing our colors. It's Assembly Ball. It's an Indiana alumni team. Joining Juwan Morgan is Miller Kopp. This team's getting primal. Miller Kopp, I have to imagine, he had a lot to do with the formation of this team and us finally getting a alumni squad in this tournament. Joining him as the third commit was Troy Williams. This is the one I was most geeked about. Troy freaking Williams, man. I don't care what you say. Like, Troy Williams in my activated fandom was like second to Oladipo with highlight potential. Like, his hops were insane. Of course, we cannot expect him to have those hops in a alumni basketball tournament, you know, like this one. But I'm excited to see Troy Williams ball again with, you know, they are representing Indiana in this. And yeah, a Hoosier that I still think left too soon, man. I wish he would have stayed a little longer. And one of my, Troy Williams was the man. Dude could throw down. Some frustrations came with this game, but man, he was an uber athlete. It'll be awesome to see what he's bringing to this team. Yeah, big exciting stuff for the basketball tournament, and it's going to be a fun summer with them. It'll be interesting to see who else they can get to fill out this roster. Like, you know, my dream, is the guy playing in Montenegro. My dream is Yogi Ferrell comes back and plays for Assembly Ball, man. That would just be awesome. Yogi Ferrell, of course, Oladipo's on that list, but man, he's still holding out hope for the real leagues. Oladipo's on that list. There's Yogi Ferrell. Yogi Ferrell's my one. Like, I want him to be on this team so bad. There's a guy who works out with the Warriors from time to time, I imagine, that could probably suit up for Assembly Ball. Well, Sheehy, it's been a while, but you still got something in there. If you can't tell by all my recommendations and me fanboying out about Troy Williams, like, I'm 31. I'm really excited to see who else joins the squad. It's going to be a fun summer. After Kenan Carlisle and Miles Rice last week, Monday we saw Umar Ballo sign his NLI, and Woodson had this to say on Ballo. Umar is a dominating post presence on both ends of the floor with a winning background. His experience playing at the highest level will elevate our program. He is a big fellow with a soft touch around the rim, good hands, and solid footwork. He is very physical and is a perfect fit in our system and our league. We are happy to welcome Umar and his family to Bloomington. We most certainly are. And I agree, I second everything Woodson said there. Umar Ballo is a nasty, tough son of a gun. He is going to bring a toughness that I am so looking forward to see in this Indiana Hoosier program. Again, I'm going to throw it out every time. 5 offensive rebounds against an admittedly less than 100 Trace Jackson Davis. Still, 5 offensive rebounds in that game. Umar's nasty, and I love it. Also, Tuesday morning, it was announced that Luke Goody signed his NLI. Woodson had this to say on Luke. Luke is a knockdown three-point shooter that provides length and rebounding ability from the wing position. He comes from a very athletic background with deep family ties to this university. He has competed at the highest level of the Big Ten and is a player we will count on to help us stretch the floor. We are excited to bring his family back to Hoosier Nation. We most certainly are, Luke Goody. Welcome back into the fold. You know, I have a feeling your heart never left. Good to see you rocking the cream and crimson. Good to see you get to rock the candy stripe pants this season. Kudos to you, Luke. After pointing out that Indiana has done some really incredible stuff in the portal, Rob Doster, sure a UConn shill, but a nationally respected talking head out there nonetheless, says he thinks Miles Rice has All-American potential. And I was like, you know what, Doster, whatever you've said about this program, I'm all ears now. You're speaking my language, Miles Rice as a potential All-American. Just the fact that any of them are discussing it, I like the signs of that. I like that comes with that. Hype and expectation, all that stuff is snowballing. And glad to see Doster get it started on Miles Rice's behalf here. Again, I'm going to talk about Doster again because also on the field of 68, I just want to say credit to Rob for knowing ball. As this week on the field of 68, he really raves about Indiana's transfer movement, claiming that they'd be a top 10 team in the country. I agree too. I mean, the roster is objectively probably one of the 4 best in the country. People can say, I believe we're stretching the floor. You can say, yeah, it's the top 4 most talented. Let's go with that. And I want to get the hype started now. I want to get all these national, these national outlets talking about Indiana because I don't want any excuses come to tip. Like, I want there to be expectations for Indiana to perform from the jump. And by all measure, I think we're starting to get that. Tony Adrania of the Assembly Call pod of Down Meridian out there talking Hoosier ball, Pacers ball. Great follow on X. He shared a absolutely beautiful collection of statistics that he had put together on X where he had listed the points per game totals for all the teams in the country for the 2023 to 2024 Power 6 production for each of the rosters, all the players who are on that roster, the entire points per game amassed amongst it. And Indiana is currently sitting at number 1 with the 88.2 points per game collection amongst their players. Kansas sitting at number 2 with 84.5, and UCLA, Big Ten brethren, there you go, at 82.8. That's where you see the drop off with Mississippi State up next. Not an entirely crucial stat because you have to imagine that it comes with them having more minutes elsewhere possibly. On Indiana, I don't really know if that's the case, but it might be from some of these other teams. Because honestly, I'm thinking about all the transfers we're bringing in. It seems like they should have about as many, if not more minutes than they had at their prior locations. And, maybe Luke Goody, I'm just expecting him to play the role that he played at Illinois, but if he comes on, if we need shooting and he's our only answer, I could see him getting more minutes for sure. I also don't see him being our only answer. I see Miles Rice and Kenan Carlisle taking some steps. That may be optimistic and dumb of me, but hey, I might be optimistic and dumb to a fault. Last bit of Indiana news. This week it was announced that Indiana looks to be extending its Adidas partnership for another 10 years. Yeah, it is what it is. They are Indiana is treated very nice in basketball. They're given favor. Adidas has helped to slant players now, apparently, since NIL has taken over. But they need to show more love to the football program. There are schools in the Adidas brand who are taking very, you know, they're taken care of as a football program. Yes, Indiana football doesn't have the following behind it, but, you know, Adidas, that might help. You know, having the football jerseys that the team is currently wearing available to for purchase to the masses, that's a key. Just get football stuff on there, man. Show them some love. I mean, yes, basketball, our gear is sweet, because the best part of our branding is it doesn't have to change. And the cool part of it is it isn't changing. Yeah, we'll sprinkle in some Fear of God uniforms here and there, but it's simple, it's clean, it's everlasting. It is. And the fact that Indiana has kept it as long has made it cool now. Like, you can't change it, and it's an easy brand to support Indiana basketball. Show some love to the football program. That's all I'm asking for, Adidas. On the other side, I am pumped at the prospects that come with Anthony Edwards absolutely dominating in the NBA for Adidas. I think he just dropped his low-top version of his first shoe. And yeah, I just hope he keeps rolling along, bringing this Adidas brand up with him. Let's get on to the national news. Now, officially conference news. USC Trojan Bronny James has been selected as one of the 72 players invited to the combine. And that is pretty, it's something, because there are some names left off that list. There were several absolute snubs from this, like you're going to invite Bronny James, but not the likes of Caleb Love. Yeah, maybe he's undersized, but man, you can't tell the story of last season of college basketball without Caleb Love. Also on there is Bronny's teammate, USC Trojan Boogie Ellis. Another big-time snub, San Diego State's Jaden Ladie. Also Judah Mintz from Syracuse. Just four big snubs. But Bronny, it has been invited. He is going to be going to the NBA Draft Combine. Again, is this the way to help Bronny at the next level? You know, just like dragging him along through it. LeBron's a great dad. He's going to get his son paid. But, I mean, he could have lived off LeBron's fortune for the rest of umpteenth generations. So the money ain't the thing, man. He needs to get in there and earn his own respect. Being dragged along like this is crazy. I say he needs to go and earn his own respect. I'm not even downplaying. It was a bad season at USC, and it's just crazy. It's crazy. Like, bitching about Bronny James. I had brought up Greg Gard's comments last week, but this week I wanted to bring up Kim English's. When Kim English kind of spoke to, you know, those guys getting offered even when they aren't committed elsewhere, where it's a closed-door situation. There are people getting in behind these doors, getting in their ears. When Nate Tomlinson, assistant coach for Providence, tweeted out November 4th, 13 dudes, mindset. As in, like, hey, we are going to have 13 dudes come the first game of the season. And Kim English retweeted that saying, type shit. To all the tampering head coaches and assistant coaches and flunkies, just call me and let me know if you want to recruit our players. Leave them and their families alone. Call me. I'll see if they want to play for your programs. Y'all have my number. Yeah, and I say, yeah, that is, he's taking the problem head on. He's raising his voice and speaking his mind to what's going on in college basketball. That being said, I'm sure that he is also calling people. If he isn't doing his job correctly. On top of that, I also know if the schools were to be bottlenecked at the head coach of the team they're trying to get a guy from, you aren't going to get many of those guys. You know, the information passed on might be portrayed in less than the best light by the middleman involved. So while, yeah, it is fun seeing these coaches, you know, raise a stink, raise a fuss about it, you just know deep down they have to be doing the same thing. To be advancing in the college basketball landscape right now, as Kim English has, like, they have to be doing the same thing. Gutting news for Nebraska this week, as Thursday, Nebraska's Rink Mast announced he will be looking to take a medical redshirt for next season after needing knee surgery, and that he will be missing all of next season for the Cornhuskers. Absolutely decimating blow to the Cornhuskers, who have to just head out and just find whoever they can to man that five spot right now. Rink Mast was such a reliable force for them last season, and the Dutch Destroyer, man, I loved his game. It's just sound, it's clean, it's reliable. It's sad to see him have to sit out this entire season. If he can bounce back, though, another year of Rink Mast, I don't know how much I want to. The prospect of playing a year older Rink Mast is something. Yeah, Fred Hoiberg and company have to be scrambling to find somebody right now. Been talking about the Field of 68 all episode. One more time, the Field of 68 released their early preseason top 25, and Indiana currently sits at the 14th position. I like that. I like sitting there in those teens. Don't put us up top. Give us room to climb. I don't want this Indiana team smelling their own farts. I want them to have a little edge. In conference news, Purdue scholarship status. They are still locked down with one too many scholarships offered just days after the portal has already closed. With no transfers entering the portal, it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. There might have to be a decommit. I don't know why you can't pay somebody a scholarship and then, like, a scholarship's worth and then a bonus on top of that to be like, hey, sit off here. You take some of your NLI, you know, It's better than a scholarship. It's cash. I don't know how that doesn't work. Maybe that is the route they go down. I don't know any of the legal proceedings and how that would shake out. But it was pretty funny reading a Hammer and Rails suggestion. Of course, I had to reach out and just dig into the scholarship issue, talking about Purdue again. And the writer Jumbo Heroes, who posted on Hammer and Rails, had suggested that it's possible that one of these guys takes a fifth year of high school, that they would elect to do that. So, not knowing how any of it works, that's where they're at. Now it's time for some of the portal movement of note. Per Joe Tipton, news, West Virginia transfer guard Kirk Risa has committed to Kentucky and Mark Pope, he tells On Three Sports. The 6'3 senior averaged 11.0 points per game and 4.7 assists per game this season. He began his career at Arizona, and don't we know it, Joe? Don't we know he began his career at Arizona? What an interesting scenario Mark Pope has elected to take on. Taking on Kirk Risa into the, you know, what you're trying to build the program, Mark. Finally convincing the fan base you're building something based on, you know, getting back to reliable old Kentucky program stability. Then picking up Kirk Risa is a wild move, in my opinion. Moves like this that are just telling me this is making for an incredible season of college basketball. Mark Pope trying to instill, you know, Kentucky tradition in a program that has just lacked it in the last few seasons under Calipari. Bringing on Kirk Risa is, you're throwing a crocodile in your locker room. It's crazy. He's going to eat everybody. That is such a questionable decision by Mark Pope. I don't get it. That is a move of a desperate man to me. Yeah, that's just another pickup for one of our rivals down the line. Here's hoping it doesn't blow up in their faces. Or, moving from the Big Ten is Chucky Hepburn. He will be taking his talents to Louisville. I mean, no real thoughts there. Wisconsin is hemorrhaging talent. And, yeah, you hate to see it as a Hoosier fan. Speaking of hemorrhaging talent, I guess they're not. They went out and picked up some guys to offset this. But still, Felix Okpara to Rick Barnes in Tennessee. He's a monster. On the defensive end, the jumps that he could possibly take there, he'd be a nice piece to have. But you like Aaron Bradshaw if you're Ohio State. But man, Felix Okpara was one of those guys who is built to play in the Big Ten. He is a big bruiser, and honestly, I'm gonna be sad. It's sad to see him go. He could have been one of those, you know, big bigs, the B1G bigs. And sad to see him have to take his talents to the SEC. While I did say Greg Gard is hemorrhaging talent, he did also go out and get himself a 6'8 forward from Northern Illinois University, Xavier Amos. And last season in his sophomore campaign, Amos started 25 games and averaged 13.8 points per game, while also being able to haul in a team-high 5.8 rebounds, and also even at 6'8, being able to make a difference on the defensive end with a total of 33 blocks on the season. Nice pickup by Greg Gard, but nothing, you know, nothing earth-shattering. Another pickup by Greg Gard, honestly, yeah, hey, Greg, you're hemorrhaging talent, you're going out and getting some. So is life in the transfer portal. For anyone without that money, Greg Gard was able to lock down transfer guard John Tonjes. And John Tonjes has spent his last four seasons with Colorado State, where he came off the bench until his senior season. And in that senior season, he was able to amass 14.6 points per game, 4.7 rebounds per game, and 1.3 assists per game. And while last week, Greg Gard was complaining about, you know, how these guys are going to be offered money to play elsewhere, what can I say to him? I'm sure he went behind someone's back, because just earlier in late April, John Tonjes had announced that he would be transferring to New Mexico from Colorado State. So, yeah, somewhere along the line, a little badger got in somebody's ear. Monday, Vlad Goldin announced he would be joining Dusty May and moving from FAU to Michigan. The 7-footer averaged 15.7 points per game with 6 rebounds and is a huge injection of talent for the Wolverines. Not only that, he's also like the injection of a winner. He's been to the Final Four. He knows how to get there. Absolutely huge piece for Dusty May to pick up in Ann Arbor. That being said, our transfer hall is still just so much better. Sorry. Michigan State's Mati Sissoko has found a new landing spot since being pushed out of East Lansing. After entering the transfer portal, he will be heading to Cal to see what he can do for the Golden Bears. Also, a Michigan State exodee. What is it when somebody is part of an exodus? An exodee? Exitor? Whatever the case may be, AJ Hogard is down to his last schools in contention for his talents. And that being Florida, Georgia, Vanderbilt, or my two choices for him, USC and Washington. I want to see him in the Big Ten. You know, he has history here. He has the fan bases that, you know, feel a certain way about him. It would be a shame to see all of that, you know, bad favor go to waste. He belongs in the Big Ten. I need USC or Washington to make a push. After losing Elijah Hawkins to the transfer portal, like I had discussed last week, Golden Gopher Cam Christie entered the transfer portal while still going through the draft process Wednesday. And yeah, when it rains, it pours on Minnesota. Cam Christie, he is, as far as last year's freshmen go, I think he was like second in, you know, most wow, like somebody like Mbako down the line. He took a step in his game that made you stop and take notice. Cam Christie was right there, the tier below him, in that push of, you know, showing off their talents in time for the NBA draft, I guess. That being said, so awesome that Woodson and company were able to lock up Mbako as quickly as they did. I'm always going to just thank them for as quick as those lockdown recommitments were. Malik, Trey, you know, even Anthony Leal. All these guys were so quick. Love it. Sorry, what got me on that tangent? Oh, yeah, Cam Christie entering the transfer portal and also going through the NBA draft process. Michigan shooting guard Namari Burnett has announced that he is returning to Michigan to play for Dusty May this season. He will, by all measure, be coming off the bench for the Wolverines and a nice defensive piece for Dusty May to play with, for sure. Not afraid of to him at all, but not afraid of what he presents to in opposing defense. But nonetheless, worth noting that, hey, Dusty May was able to convince one of these guys to come back and keep hailing the victors, I guess. Yeah. After averaging 16.6 points per game at Xavier, Dez Claude has committed to the Big Ten's own USC. Another West Coast addition for the Big Ten, TJ Bamba transferred from Washington State to Villanova last portal, and after a floundering season there, now Bamba will be heading to Eugene in his fifth season of college basketball. Last season under Neptune at Villanova, he averaged 10.1 points per game in 33 starts. Real athletic upside with him. Should be a fun addition to Dane Altman and the Oregon Ducks. Illinois was able to fill out the roster a bit with Evansville transfer Ben Humrichus. He averaged 14.7 points per game, set 4.7 rebounds per game, and 1.9 assists per game this season in his one season at Evansville after a three-year career at Huntington University, just down the road south here. You know, a good 30 minutes down 69. Illinois saw a big name enter the transfer portal as Coleman Hawkins. You know, my personal pick for Big Ten Villain of the Year, should he be able to come back to Illinois. Yeah, and by every measure, he is and would if the NBA draft process doesn't go according to his plan, which I'm not really tuned into how it is looking for Coleman Hawkins at this time. But man, yeah, I want him back. I want these guys back. I love recurring faces on the opposition. I do. Coleman Hawkins, my pick for next year's Big Ten Villain of the Year, entering the transfer portal just this week. And lastly, big portal movement for the Big Ten. Rutgers big man Cliff Omorui has announced he will be playing for Nate Oates and Alabama next season. And this is such a loss for Rutgers. Again, when he entered the portal, I was like, man, what a gutting decision by Clifford Omorui. You thought that he was going to be the defensive tone setter. He was the one bringing the culture. And yeah. Looks like the culture is going to be set by your two freshmen next season. That being said, it is a culture with a tremendous amount of possible upside. And now it's time for your Big Five of the Week. This is your Big Five of the Week. Every offseason episode, I'll be throwing on a Big Five of the Week. This is Burke's Big Five, so this is just my opinion on some of the top fives out there around the conference. This week, I wanted to do the Big Ten mascots. So this is Burke's Big Five Big Ten mascots. At number five, we have the Golden Gopher. Buck teeth gleaming, smiling ear to ear. It is an absolutely miserable smile to stare into in the throes of defeat. At number five, the Golden Gopher. At number four, we have Sparty. You know, just a strongman costume. Just a strongman costume, but kind of the strongman costume. You know, Sparty he's the collegiate strongman. He's got the guns. He put in the legwork, unlike our boy Pete. At number three, we have Brutus, an enormous nut. When you think about it, it's ridiculous and pretty cool. His dead eyes are haunting, but what mascots aren't? And again, hey, these are objective of team or fan base or the personality of said fan bases. So this is all on their own merit as the mascots. At number two, we have Bucky. Bucky's drip is immaculate. As a Hoosier, the color scheme, I respect it. And the sweater to the yoke neck, straight to the head, it just plays for me. At number one, we have the duck. The duck immediately slides into the top spot. It's Donald Duck, dude. Of course, he can't hold a flame to the mouse himself, which, Hoosiers, can we get on that? Can the Disney estate rewrite the canon so Mickey's been a Hoosier this whole time? But, like, regardless of playing second fiddle to possibly a top four most iconic mascot of all time, Donald Duck is still a classic Americana through and through. And through some licensing agreement, like, 50 years ago, the Oregon Ducks locked down the greatest mascot. Yeah, it all stems from, like, they started as the Webfooters, that was, like, a reference to a military regiment around Eugene. And then they started following Puddles, who was a actual live white duck that they would take to games. And then that Puddles would appear in animation and all that, and people would start making him look like Donald Duck. And then, yeah, they got the licensing, so that's crazy that they were able to grandfather themselves into that situation. But yeah, the Oregon Duck number one. That was your Burke's Big Five, big mascots. Right after this word, you know, patting my own back, I will get into the segment for you, which will just be me, you know, breaking down the tiers of the draws for the Big Ten Conference opponents. And yeah, we'll get into that right after this. The Often Daunted Podcast is brought to you because I love this hobby. Like, I just love, I have so much fun doing these episodes, and I enjoy the work I've been able to do with other shows like the Big Ten Show. And yeah, I just wanted to say, if you haven't checked out some of the other stuff out there that I've been featured on, please do. It goes a long way into them having me back, and yeah, having more Hoosier content out there for you. I appreciate any of you guys following me at all socials at Often Daunted, and I appreciate you for giving me a listen on this episode. Let's get right back into it. All right, so for this segment this week, we are going to be looking at the draws of each of the Big Ten teams out there. Yes, all 18 of them now. Yes, but we will just be doing them quick. We're not breaking down each, you know, win-loss. What do we see there? I'm just seeing by the names listed under home, away, and home slash away. I just wanted to break these down into four tiers. Those four tiers being lotto winners, being the select, you know, the draws of opponents that I would kill to have. There is the tier I'd take it, which is, yeah, you know, this is favorable. Could have been worse. Could have been a little better, but could have been much worse. Then there's the unlucky. That is the, you know, it could have been worse. It's pretty bad. Could have been worse. Could have been way worse. And then lastly, there are the tributes. Those teams drawing the short straw that are being offered up by the Big Ten Conference. So I'm going to go tier by tier because I already tiered them out. You know, just went down, how do I feel about this one? Just, this is entirely based off Burke's vibes, which, you know, it's the off season. We're going to find some stuff to talk about. This is me finding stuff to talk about. I wanted to see what teams I think really won the lottery with their draws. So let's start with the tributes. Why not start at the bottom? And as your first and second tribute, they are a combined tribute because they do share the same scheduling. They do share the same home, away, and home and away opponents. Those being USC and UCLA. Offered up as tribute because of their brutal away opponents, that being Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, and Rutgers. That is a gauntlet of away-only games. Their home and away being the entire West Coast. All those West Coast teams, their home and away are just them. But it does seem like the same draw for USC, UCLA is combined, and the same draw for Washington and Oregon is combined. And oddly enough, USC and UCLA's home and away, their opponent matchup is an exact inverse of Washington and Oregon's. They're keeping it just as orderly as they can on the West. But also joining USC and UCLA as tribute. Yeah, you know, I say they're offered up as tribute, but ultimately getting to play Oregon and UCLA might be tough. Never mind. Tough schedule. Next tribute is Maryland. Maryland got a tough draw. Equally tough away draw for Maryland as they have Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, Purdue, and Washington. Yeah, Washington's easy, but Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, and I mean, Michigan stands to rebound and do something under Dusty's first year. That is a tough draw for the Maryland Terrapins. And your last tribute offered up by the Big Ten is Michigan. Michigan having to play Rutgers and Purdue and Michigan State twice. Tough, yes. But away at Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio State, UCLA, USC, and Wisconsin, the Barn is one of the weirdest locations to play in. So like that's always an odd matchup. It's not the worst. Yeah, I guess if you had to play one opponent, it'd be an opponent that stands to be as down as the Golden Gophers look right now. I just feel like whatever team Painter feels like, it's going to be competent and they're going to be a tough beat. And Purdue and Rutgers twice a year, as well as your in-state rival Michigan State, that's a tough one. It is weird to me that Ohio State and Michigan aren't on those automatic rivalry qualifiers where they are playing home and away, but nonetheless, still a tough one for Michigan. Next tier up, we have the unlucky ones. First on that list, we have Ohio State, home and away against Indiana, Maryland, and Nebraska. That is a brutal, I think all those teams stand to do well. Yes, Nebraska's down ring mast, and that is going to be a huge question that they will need to address before the season starts, but that is a tough series of three opponents to play twice. Add on top of that, your only chances against Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois are all away. That is a tough draw for the Ohio State Buckeyes. At home, they only get Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Oregon, Rutgers, Washington. You know, those are teams you could think you could beat away. You want to get those teams that you know you're going to struggle with at home. And just a raw draw for Ohio State. Up next is Minnesota. Same thing for Minnesota. Unlucky in that they have to play Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, and Rutgers all away, but lucky in that they get Purdue at home. So that's why they weren't on the tribute section. They get Purdue at home. Purdue and Illinois. Next up on the unlucky ones, Iowa. Iowa has a nice draw in that they get Indiana and Purdue at home, but with Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, and Rutgers all on their away game only list, that is a tough draw for them. Rutgers pulling up the rear as the last of the unlucky ones, home and away. They get Michigan, Penn State, and Purdue. That is tough. You know, Michigan stands to be a top five possibly team in the conference, as well as Purdue. Matt Painter's always going to coach the hell out of his squad. Penn State, you know, that's one of the ones you want to play twice. But having to go to Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Northwestern, I mean, there are just tough games throughout the Big Ten, but particularly tough opponents that the Scarlet Knights get to see. The next tier and the biggest tier is the I'd Take It. The first team on the I'd Take It tier of Big Ten opposition is Northwestern. They get us at home. They get Nebraska at home. They get Michigan State at home. Having to play Purdue as your only chance away is a tough look, but with their three double matchups being Illinois, Iowa, and Maryland, Illinois, we don't really know what the team is yet. Iowa doesn't look great for McCaffrey right now, and Maryland, they stand to be competent. I don't have faith in their depth, and they are putting a lot of faith into a freshman, but again, I would too. So up next, we got Purdue. Now that I'm looking at Purdue's, I don't know if I'd want to put it in the I'd Take It, but we'll keep it there for now. Yeah, their home and away matchups are Indiana, Michigan, and Rutgers. So if you were to replace Indiana with Purdue there, that would probably be my least favorite three to have the double matchups with. But again, when I'm looking at these, like, I do think Purdue will be able to, they're going to fall off, but they'll be competent. And I look through these schedule lenses as the team, like how I think they'd fare. And I think this is an all right draw for Purdue because they're one of the better teams. Like, they're going to have a all right draw, most things considered. Just glad to see Indiana's finally get crawling back up there. Another I'd Take It is Michigan State. Michigan State getting to play Minnesota twice while also getting to host us and then not having to play at Assembly Hall. That is a win for Michigan State. Not only not having to play at Assembly Hall, but also not having to play at Mackey. Like, the home games for Michigan are Indiana, Nebraska, Oregon, Penn State, Purdue, Washington, and Wisconsin. Sub out like Ohio State and Illinois in that list, and that's who you want. That's who you want to be your home only games. Great. I mean, absolutely, I'd take Michigan State's draw on that. Another, I'd take Nebraska. Their three doubleheaders are going to be Iowa, Maryland, and Ohio State. Ohio State is always a doubleheader that I would warmly welcome. I always feel like Columbus is one of the lesser Big Ten atmospheres out there and one of the lesser, like, home court advantages. And if we have to play there, I do not mind. With the other team being Iowa in that three, like, yeah, Maryland stands to be okay. But Iowa, with the outlook on McCaffrey's transfer haul, like, it's looking bleak for those boys. If they're just going to be on the shoulders of Owen Freeman, it's going to be a rough season for the Hawkeyes. Lastly on the I'd Take It is Illinois. Your three doubleheaders being Michigan State, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. Tough matchups. You don't really have an easy one there. But, I mean, you could definitely have worse ones there. Being able to split Indiana between the state of Indiana, I mean, between home and away, with playing Indiana at Assembly Hall and Purdue at Assembly Hall. Yeah, well, it's Assembly Hall. They can call there something else. Playing Indiana in Assembly Hall and having to play Purdue at home, like that, splitting Indiana, teams could ask for much worse. That being said, teams could ask for much better, like Michigan State, in the fact that they get to host both Indiana and Purdue and don't have to play there. But that being said, I'd take Illinois' draw. And the last tier, a group of three, four, because it's split, a West Coast splitter here. Your four lotto winners. Starting off first, we got Iowa. Iowa gets to host Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, and does not have to play them in the state of Indiana. Their three doubleheaders being Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. Again, you could ask for an easier one sprinkled in there, but there could be far more. There could be far worse monsters on that list for you. Next up on the lotto winners is us, Indiana. Yeah, I'm going to see them through rose-tinted glasses, but I really like Indiana's draw for this Big Ten opposition. Ohio State, Penn State, and Purdue. Again, I said Ohio State. I'm not afraid to play in Columbus. That bleak atmosphere, you're shooting in a shopping mall. I don't fear the Buckeyes. And it'll be interesting to see what Jake Diebler is able to do with them the first season. He was able to get that interim bump last season, so, I mean, it'll be a true test this one. I believe we can get the best of them both games in that one. Next, we have Penn State. You couldn't ask for a better opponent, maybe Washington, to have to play twice. Then we have Purdue. And, of course, I love that matchup because I want to see Indiana and Purdue play every chance I can get to see Indiana and Purdue play. Those games are going to be electric next season, and I love that. Yeah, that game. If there is ever a season where Indiana isn't playing Purdue, like I'm seeing Michigan and Ohio State not play each other, yeah, it's basketball. So Indiana and Purdue means a different stratosphere of something, but means a different stratosphere of dedication to that rivalry. But nonetheless, I cannot see Indiana and Purdue play once a year. Then you're just flipping location. That's ridiculous. We need to be able to complain about possible third game rubber match breakups. That never happened. We need that. I like the fact that they gave us Wisconsin away. They're giving us the chance there to get that one off our back. All in all, lotto winner, Indiana Hoosiers, for sure. Having to get, like, drawing Rutgers at home only, absolute plus. Keep me out of New Jersey, please. Michigan only at home, Maryland only at home. I hate playing in Maryland. It just gets clunky when the Hoosiers are playing in Maryland. And good to see that we only get them for a home game this season. All in all, I approve. I love it. And your last lotto winner, in my eyes, the unquestioned lotto winner. Lotto winners, I should say, because it's Oregon and Washington. Like I said, it's the absolute inverse of the USC and UCLA one, which I said was the toughest draw. Not really based on the three teams they have to play in doubleheaders because they are the same ones. It's just the West Coast teams collected. But their homestand is great. It is a list of the teams you would want to play at home in the Big Ten. And the exact opposite can be said for USC and UCLA. It is the exact list of teams you would not want to play away that they have. But for Oregon and Washington, at home, they get Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Rutgers. There's like six of the top seven teams from last season in that list. And I guess Maryland and Rutgers are low, but I mean, they stand to be better for sure. That's a great home draw. Those are the teams you would want to play once at home. As for away, Iowa, Michigan State, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin. And then you get that Oregon, UCLA, USC doubleheader. I mean, Oregon, UCLA, USC. It's going to be interesting to see what those away environments are like compared to the natural Big Ten ones. I have a feeling they might have to step their game up. But yeah, looking at this collection of names for the home section and just the fact that they get to play the West Coast twice, absolutely a draw to be envious of for the Oregon Ducks and the Washington Huskies. And with that little dumb segment out of the way for you, let's get out of here with a Hoosier History Hit.
This is your Hoosier History Hit.
For your Hoosier History Hit, I am going to Injurious.com, and I'm looking up a piece by Roger B. Finderson, and that piece is the top 10 strangest laws in Indiana. I'm reaching here. Time to look up the top 10 strangest laws in Indiana this offseason. Number one, if you're a county sheriff in Indiana, it's a good idea to befriend a coroner. The coroner has the power to arrest the county sheriff and has custody of the jail and its prisoners during the imprisonment of the sheriff. Coroners, who I always assume that's a crazy job to take on. That has to take a crazy person to want to take on that job. But hey, we do need those crazy people to take on those jobs because somebody needs to be coronerizing. Coronerer? Coroner? Coronerizing? Coronizing? Coronizing. There we go. We made it. Somebody has to be coronizing these dead bodies out here. And apparently they have the power to arrest the sheriff. Number two, we have people who like to fish. We'll have to find another way to impress their partners. In Indiana, it's unlawful to take a fish out of water using just your bare hands. So no noodling for those weirdos who actually can stand be noodling. You know, putting your hand down a catfish's gut and pulling it out of the muck. It's crazy. And illegal in Indiana, so knock it off. On a hot, humid day, number three, you might think twice about wanting to pop into a liquor store. In Indiana, liquor stores are not allowed to sell cold water or cold sodas, and you all knew that. That's why you always have to grab a freaking warm RC Cola with your fifth of Jack. A warm 2-liter of RC, nothing washes down Jack like that. Number four for you, if saving gas isn't your goal, don't take a road trip through Indiana. It's illegal to coast down a hill in neutral in the Hoosier State. So apparently you can't yet. Yeah, you know, pedal to the metal out there, guys. Number five, failing to provide medical support for your child is normally a crime. However, there's an exemption. If, as a legitimate practice of your religious beliefs, you pray instead of providing medical care. Ugh. Yeah, that's a tough one. So yeah, that's a dark one. Number six, if you're looking for a fun time in Indiana, skip the glue store and head straight to the Dunes National Park or Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hey, happy May, everybody. I didn't even say it. But it's a Class B misdemeanor to sniff glue with the goal of causing euphoria. So, kids, drop the glue. Don't be sniffing it. No misdemeanors out in these streets. Number seven, in Indiana, don't assume it's BYOB. It's unlawful to carry alcohol into a restaurant or a place of public entertainment for the purpose of consuming it or giving it away. Number eight, if you approach a group of adolescents in the wintertime, you might consider crossing the road. In Warsaw, it's illegal to throw a snowball across the street. That's your defense there. You know, this This is Roger D. Finderson guy. He's got a way with words. Thank you, Roger. Number 9, check your laser pointer at the door. No person shall possess a laser pointer on city property in Evansville, Indiana. And I don't hate that law. Laser pointers are a nuisance. Yeah, and somebody points a laser pointer in a freaking public building. Yeah, that's wild. Number 10, good news for the squeamish. It's unlawful for any person to transport a dead animal along a street or alley in Gary so as to expose any part of the carcass of the animal. Yeah, they really keep it under wraps for the dead animals in Gary. That was your Hoosier History Hit. That's all I got for you. Thank you so much for tuning into the Often Daunted Podcast. I cannot appreciate you enough. If you enjoy the show, please feel free to subscribe. All off-season long, I'll be putting out episodes each Monday for you. I will be right back here wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Again, thank you so much for the listen. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. You take it easy. Lux et Veritas. Down with everybody who ain't us. Take it easy.